It's now time to think outside the box of what we've always known.
I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord.
I think that's a profound turning point in somebody's relationship with God.
And our hope in starting this was that this would become an ever-expanding conversation.
Just two real guys talking about life. That's a nice tagline.
I'm Wayne Jacobson.
And I'm Brad Cummings.
And welcome to another edition of The God Journey. The God Journey.
Could that music signal that maybe I'm not alone in the podcast?
You're not.
Today?
You're not. I'm back. Not.
Brad
I'm back.
Cummings is back in the house.
Yes.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Be careful this time.
Last time
you caused a little problem.
I did.
You did. My daughter was listening to the podcast, and when you called Amazon a pirate, her Slurpee went all over the windshield.
But they are.
So I think that's why the Slurpee went all over the place.
I cannot be prosecuted for telling the truth.
Man. Well, you can be, actually, but...
That's probably true. I guess so.
I was thinking from her side, you know, from the consumer side... It's good for her.
Awesome, best deal.
So I don't. I'm surprised she thought they were such a pirate. She probably worked for me long enough back in the day to remember that they're a little bit piratey.
They are.
Yeah.
Unfair.
Well, let's not make this an anti-Amazon podcast. That'd be no fun. In fact, I'm going to need them again. You know why?
Why?
4:35 Monday afternoon. I typed the final words to Finding Church.
Awesome.
Something more. Yeah. Last chapter, I haven't been working. I've been avoiding it for a long time because I wasn't sure where we're going to end it. Well, I just know we're going to end it. So I threw notes back in this last chapter thing. And Saturday morning, Sarah was gone all weekend. She was with a bunch of girlfriends.
No longer avoiding the last chapter.
Oh, man, I tore into it with a fury. And
you had a conclusion.
So now we're done. And I'm going to spend another month or so polishing it up, but or at least we're done with the big part.
Well, you can't just tease that way. What's the conclusion?
I can't. Well, I can, actually.
You can? Is that a good marketing tool?
I do. I'll give you this hint. The last chat, and this is all on the blog. People may have already read part of this. But
do you have the address and phone number of the church found?
The last chapter is called To Be Continued. And it's all about hoping this provokes a bigger conversation for people. And that the church is something that takes shape in the world. So it's not something we can describe and let's go pretend we're that, but let's get in the headwaters of this thing. Let's find out how it takes shape as people learn to live alongside each other in love instead of building their own kingdoms.
Oh, yeah. I somewhere in the middle of seminary, I bumped along that verse that says, you know, lest the Lord builds a house, they that labor in vain. I sat there with my tool chest going like, what? This is ridiculous. I'm being taught to be a church builder constructor guy. And you get that verse, I'm just going like, these are not going to work together.
Yeah, I think that reason we ignore that verse is because it's like it's Old Testament, so it doesn't count anymore.
It's the same God.
I agree.
Same yesterday. That's a Hebrews verse. Same yesterday, today, forever.
In fact, Jesus said he would build his church. But
I know.
We still have things called church planters, church builders, church.
And why do we try to help him as much as we do, seeing as we don't typically have the blueprints and we're not exactly sure what we're building? I know that maybe it's not true. Maybe we're not honest with what we're building.
I would hate to paint with a broad brush.
Okay.
Like we never do that here. But a lot of motives, I think. I think, one, it's just humanity has always found it difficult not to put its hands around God's stuff and try to control it. I think the Old Testament is replete with that, and I think the New Testament is too. I think Paul talks in these incredibly visionary terms about the church being the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. And then he keeps writing to our iterations of that reality, and there's just problems. There's just all kinds of problems about learning to trust Jesus to do instead of leaders coming in, other people trying to force their way, and we always end up then back to religious performance because that's easy to control. I can control you if I can set the standard and make you live to it, but I'm not freeing you to live inside who God is and then watch what that produces. And maybe the biggest risk there is, but we won't be able to control that. Which I used to go, that sounds like a real problem. Now I go, wow, that's got to be the best part of it. We can't. Why would we want to?
I don't know. I think we feel this weird obligation. I'm in a really weird place. I mean, not like that's new, okay?
You're weird? Wow.
Yeah.
Let me make a note.
Yeah, mental note. Brad is in a weird place.
Brad is weird.
No, I think I understand you, my friend, a little better.
Really?
Yeah.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Yeah, that, but I think, I don't know, maybe I'm just a little older, a little more mature, maybe, but I've got some wonderful young, passionate people in my life who I think were kind of where I was when we first connected up.
Yeah.
And I'm a little further down the road, able to see some of the things that they're struggling with, but having seen it from a standpoint of going through it already.
Hmm.
And so you're just going like, oh, they're in a good space, good struggle, but I kind of know what they're going to hit. And I don't think there's anything I can do to stop that from happening. And you're just going like, there's no real point in trying to, quote, disillusion them.
Right.
As far as me.
Right. Absolutely.
And you sort of just got to let them struggle. And I'm going like, I am okay. Earlier in my life, I was not okay. I had to be the lifeguard, had to save you from your struggle, had to, you know, dish you from your illusion. And I just realized that is so fruitless. Because unless someone finds it from within,
yeah,
it's not a conclusion they're going to hold.
Yeah.
It's something they've heard. It's not something they know.
Right.
And so I've got a few friends who are at the front end of this, really trying to reform. I mean, hungry for something that's not the institution and not just the package deal.
Yeah.
And yet they haven't figured out that road is not the same road. They're still walking down it going like, oh, no, I know they'll connect up. I don't know that they do.
And because they really don't know there's another road available. That's part of it.
Yeah.
Just don't have a clue.
They still have paychecks involved.
Oh, yeah.
So there is not another road available. That one's called a cliff. Okay.
That has danger signs.
Yeah, danger, danger.
Big red light flashing.
Yes.
Saw horses across
cut
it.
Cut own throat here.
People have died on this road.
Yeah. No, there is not another road. There is a road and there's a cliff. Okay.
Oh, God.
But I'm watching this and I'm going like, no flipping way. Is that what Wayne was feeling when we were having conversations and the restraint that was necessary to not make their conclusions for them?
For you now.
For me now.
Yeah, I didn't feel restrained then.
That's great.
I'm just going, you know, because I was where you're talking about, where there's nothing I can say to stop this. I may plant some seeds so that when it crumbles, they might go, huh, maybe. That's about the best you can do. And then you just befriend them so that when you're there, when it crashes, you're just there.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, for our first lunch, I came home and told Sarah, I just think we're going to hang out to Brad and Carolyn. Why? I think they're about to get whacked. And I somehow want to be there when they get whacked.
There you go.
Not to delight in it, for sure. Just to pick up pieces and go, you know.
Yeah, traffic on the freeway.
Because I think what's really conflicting, the vision and the heart is so good.
Yes.
And then we think the mechanism will work. I think this is the problem I face everywhere. It's, you know, that whole system of getting people together and having a group and having a vision, and that's a pretty good deal. It's just that the black hats get in charge. And so the black hats are the problem. So we get the black hats out of the way.
That very discussion.
Yeah, then I can do this.
I am a white hat boy.
And you don't realize how much even those guys were white hats when they started.
Right.
It's the system that compresses us into its image. It's this, we can do by management what
God does by transformation.
What God, yeah. There's the key.
Yeah.
And what I find of people, and this is kind of where the book goes, where people who live in the reality of the new creation, they have neither the desire to manage people nor the desire to be managed. And until that gets rooted out by something more real, we're going to keep making that mistake.
Yeah, you don't, unless that has been the hallmark of your, quote, conversion, where you've tasted that transformation that was not administrated or managed. You don't know anything different.
Yeah.
You can't see what you don't see.
And all you see, if you think about it, is anarchy. You're just talking anarchy.
Yes.
You're just telling people, everybody does what they want to do. Everybody does what's right in their own eyes, which is how God wanted it in Judges before they wanted a king. No, we prefer a king to manage us. Really? He's going to take your daughters and, you know, pillage them. He's going to put your sons in war.
But he wasn't wanting a king either.
He wasn't. And even the two he chose, white hats, right?
Yeah.
Saul and David. Boy, he ended up too well.
Yeah, he still isn't looking for kings.
No.
But that's the difficulty for us is, you know, I remember we talked about this numerous times, but, you know, unless Jesus is sitting there on the throne of the human heart, we're going to place someone else there as our need to worship, whether it's recognized or not.
Yeah.
And it's like somehow, unless we find that kind of dynamic that's satisfying and meaningful, if you don't find that with God, you will look for that with someone else. And unfortunately, you will then hope that they will be that Jesus for you. And I'm just going like, I resigned from that because I just, as nice as my white hat is, I cannot be a surrogate savior for anybody and make this work. And I kept hitting that ceiling of like, this is not good. I'm well-intentioned and you're becoming addicted to what it is that you get from me. And this is not going where we think it is. As nice as I'm trying to be and trying to be helpful
right.
and give them all the tools, they're simply becoming more and more dependent upon that food being fed.
But we can really do good things in the meantime. I think that's what's so seductive because we can have a pretty good get-together. We can have some pretty good worship. We can do some pretty good outreach things. We can do some pretty good stuff that isn't all horrible. It's actually all pretty good. But we're creating this very dynamic you're talking about where people aren't really walking with Jesus. They're walking in my program. And I'm happy to let them walk in my program. I'm happy to go, yeah, this is what you need to do. No, you don't hear from Jesus anymore because I mapped it all out for you. And then I realized that then transformation isn't happening because I think that's what really changed in my heart when I realized this wasn't about Wayne acting better for God. That God had to significantly change me. That as good as Wayne could act wasn't good enough to be engaged in the things God was doing around me. So I want to be shaped from inside. Now when I realize that that's happening, man, I've got no hope that even telling you what you should do or what would be best for you to do is going to be helpful to you. In the first chapter of this book that I was reading last night, this book may be a waste of time, actually, for people. Because how many first chapters?
That's a great sales technique. Yeah.
Because I say, the things I'm going to put in this book is what I wish somebody would have told me when I was 20. But I don't know that I would have listened. I don't know that I was still so desiring to make my mark on the world and to be significant for God in Wayne's eyes, which was, you know, really twisted.
I think that's the restraint that I was feeling in these couple of other conversations. I know you didn't. I don't think there's anything in the way in which we met that would have provoked the need for restraint.
Right.
Because I really was kind of going like this.
You were asking great questions. Yeah.
It's like I was primed for that. I think the people that I'm talking to right now, they're just sort of on the cusp of that. And I'm just going like, you know what? I'm not really seeing the open road to destroy the path they're on. And I'm realizing new wine and old wineskin. Not good. Never suggested we do that.
Not helpful.
But I've done that. I mean, in my zeal and in my good intention, I have done that in numerous places. And I just look back and go like, I know it was well-intentioned. It was the best I knew at the time that I had. But I didn't understand the admonition that you shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Because it does bust that system. And I'm not sure that's all that helpful.
Hmm.
Sometimes it might be, but I sort of would go like, I'd like Jesus to bust that one as opposed to have my fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure that all the stuff that I've seen leak out, drain out, has really found its way back. And I just, I carry a little bit of sense of going, what do you do then?
Drained out back from where?
Dealing with the institution, mm-hmm. I mean, for all the people out there who are struggling, trying to reform the thing, I just end up going like, I don't know. I'm not convinced that unless you got some clear directives from Jesus, that when God does that new wine thing in you and you're seeing different, I'm thinking you should run with that. But I'm not sure that I would grab anyone and drag them along. I'm not sure that I would necessarily try to reform and declare to the old, this is the new.
Well, a lot of us have tried it.
I've tried it enough, and yeah. I'm just going like, wow. I don't know. I have a real mixed bag of fruit of outcomes.
You'd have to have, I think, if you got an existing deal, you'd have to have enough disillusioned people in there just saying, hey, we're willing to do this all differently. Where would we start? Where would we start over? But to reform it with another it, you're going to produce the same.
It's just a mousetrap by another name.
We've been doing that for 2,000 years. Yeah. Somebody comes up with a better it. You know, Marty Luther, he comes up with some great stuff, no doubt about it. But then what's he doing to push his thing on other people, twist that into something else? So another group's got to spill out of that.
Anabaptist in the closet. Or dungeon.
Oh, it's yeah.
It's weird. It's interesting. Then I have two other friends who are sitting on top of incredibly well-built empires of God.
And they're on top.
They're the tippy top.
Yeah.
And they're dear friends. And we have not had as much communication until just now recently.
Wow.
And they are in very different – they are now standing at a cliff.
And so they're at the top of it, but they're becoming disillusioned with their own thing? Would you say that? No.
Yes, greatly, but I think they're coming to some glorious conclusions.
Cool.
But now they're utterly lost at the top of their own deal going – and I'm like one of the few friends
that
is sort of safe to talk about these things because I'm not invested in them.
Right.
And they're asking some marvelous questions where you're just going like – they might use a little different language than what you and I have been talking about for a while, but it's like I'm going like, oh, I think they're on that same journey. I think it's that same dynamic where it's like I've lost my capacity to just put all the handles and all the labels and all the definitions on it, and they're really just in a tractor-beamed relationship that's vibrant with Jesus that they no longer know how to just apply to everyone else. Because I think when you're building something –
or have built something.
But like our program, I think the impulse, the well-intentioned is I'm going to help, you know, disciple someone else's life. But we give them a program as opposed to walk with them on a journey.
Right.
It's like as opposed to walking alongside and just being available and dialoguing about what's really happening in the conversation of their life. Which is what I think is that essence of the church. It's like that person's engaged in their own dialogue with God. We try to have that dialogue as if I'm going to have that dialogue for them. And I'm just going, that does not work.
Is part of it the instinctive need we Americans have to mass produce something? Because what you just said about walking with somebody, if you've got 20,000 people downstream of you and some pyramid thing you've built – how do you help all of those people except to create a program?
Yeah, you cannot.
Right.
So
what do you do with that? Is that part of the dilemma? What do I do with that now?
I have no answer for that. I think because I have been in such a different space, it's weird. I do believe that God can, because I mean, we have stories in the Bible where God has done massive moments of significant numbers of transformation, where you're talking profound encounters. We have that throughout church history. Yep. There's things that have happened that have been, wow, epic, you know, great awakening size dynamics, where nations get changed, okay? That's awesome. But I don't think that was controlled or manufactured or programmed at all. I think that was responded to.
Right.
And so it's like when you're trying to manufacture that, oh glory! I don't think that's going to go well.
Has it ever worked?
No, I mean, you got numbers, and you're going to count things the way you want to count them, and so you can quote declare fruit. But I don't know that I see anyone mass produced. The people that I know that are walking in this transformed life, those are the folks that have somehow. They're no longer walking with an intermediary. They may have some buddies and friends, but it's like they're no longer in that, here's my declared mentor. I mean, it's like they don't have the hierarchical dynamic. They're dealing with a face-to-face friendship of their own, and it's alive, and they're doing what is the fruit of that friendship.
Yeah.
And none of that seems to be mass-produced stuff. I think we invent that.
I agree, because I just think that's our bent. I mean, back
I think
from,
it's our ego.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going like...
Partly ego. Partly, if I create a following, I've got books to sell. I create an audience. I've got a dynamic that also rewards me materially. I think that's I think that's an issue.
Well, it's fascinating. I had a haunting dream. This is probably about a decade ago. And it had everything to do with a move of God happening in our geography. And I remember...
Southern Cal.
Yeah. Me? Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, it was like this Ventura area. It's like, I mean, it was like specific to here. And crazy of all things, George Barna is in this dream, as is Ted Koppel. And it's like, you know, George Barna is a systems guy. He's going to reform the church. And I've actually developed decent friendship with him. I've watched him in his own journey, going from here's the second coming of the church to then his next book was really thin. I asked him, I said, why is that, George? And he said, you want to know the truth? I should have entitled it, The Church is Dead.
Wow.
And he was just as I'm running out of conclusions. Just like I gave all my prescriptions in that other one. And then I watched, and the fruit did not occur, and he got very disillusioned. And then he was just going like, I don't know. And we've connected on a few other things just in passing. And I just, it's like, it's wild to watch this super statistician come to a place of going like, what? And in this dream, he became the most like.
Holy. So did you have this conversation with Barna in your dream about it being dead, or was this a real conversation?
This was a real dream, okay. and I've had this real conversation because I shared the dream.
You know
with
him,
it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And I said, George, in this dream, I said you were just absolutely became a man of the Holy Spirit, where it's like you have all your data, you have all the stuff that you've always done, your research, your conclusions, your programs, and he's got his plan, and in this dream. He was sitting in this little stairwell, and he was about to speak, and he was just really, waiting on God to hear what God wanted to say, as opposed to all the way I know he's approached stuff. And so I was like, this massive transformation in George Martin, like, oh my gosh, he is like being led by the Spirit. Not that he wasn't before, but it's like he wasn't looking to the man manipulation stuff. And he was very much going like, God doing something different. And it's like they were talking about how this move of God was not controlled by people. It was really one of these spontaneous happenings. And Ted Koppel was there, no longer working for Nightline, but was so taken by this as the sort of like figure reporter guy.
Ted Koppel on the brain. You don't know him.
I know I don't know him. But I think he speaks of that kind of, somewhat, skeptical little reporter guy mindset. And he was looking at this. He was there because this was capturing the attention of the world. And they were talking about this. And I remember they were talking about this uncontrollable and how it was just one-to-one. But I was sitting there going like, but wait, this is meant to be bigger. And I was inside in this dream going like, but what about the stadiums? What about the thousands? And I was really just going like, not like I want to mass produce this, but I didn't think it was just this little thing. And so in this dream, I was going like, Lord. And I really felt like God then just dropped a bomb on it where it's like all of a sudden it became both and. But it wasn't man manufactured. I get real like scared of going like, no, let's not do that. And I think the biggest difficulty is I've also hung out with those crowds that have been championing revival for the last 30 years. And it's like, I got to tell you, they're tired.
Oh, good. Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear that.
They're tired. They have done everything they know to do. And man, have I walked with that crowd for a long time. I right now don't find myself in a disillusioned space of being tired and exhausted. I think I've come to the conclusion, I don't think that's bunk. I just don't think we can manufacture that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a match strike that I'm supposed to grab and I'm going to somehow make happen. I think there's a heart that I have that's ready to respond, but I don't think I see myself as the would-be instigator, whereas in my youthful zeal, I wanted to be that guy.
Yeah. And not only are they worn out, they've worn out a lot of people. Right?
I actually see that as exciting today. I do.
You like them all worn out.
No, well, I if it leads people to a place of going like, you know what I'm really hungry for is that unmanufactured God thing, that I think is great. If it's got you that worn out, disillusioned, and I'm going to quit thing, that's tragic.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer.
And there's both.
There's both.
Obviously.
And they are not one and the same.
Yeah.
I have dear friends that I would just say are shipwrecked. And I'm bummed because I'm just going like, I get why. There's reasons, but I still, that's a wrong conclusion. But I get why.
It was never going to work. But your heart in it, what you were trying to do was really good, really pure, really, you know, I think that's often true. People are really wanting
yeah.
a God thing to happen. And that's not a horrible thing. Yeah. Then I'm going to manufacture it on my own. I'm going to grab the fruit of the tree and do it on my own instead of letting God do it.
But I don't think anyone does that with clear awareness. Or I don't know anyone that has. I mean, yeah. I'm not going to suggest that there aren't some. Because in this ugly business of religion, I've also bumped into just going like, oh my gosh, that is with intent.
It is at some point. You wonder how much of that begins without it, though. I just want to put something out there that blesses people. Then it gets to be, wow, I could do this and make more money with that and have these meetings and charge that fee. And I think the money thing
really
overwhelms people. It does.
But you know what's so strange is I end up going like, you could overreact and say, well, money is just, it's like, no, money's not evil. Money is an indicator. Money is a mirror. How you deal with it, how you handle it, will show you what's really there.
Yeah, but I hope there's a humility about that that says, a few of us are immune from that. We don't have a great history of people who...
I know no one immune from that.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But what I see in Scripture that does keep me going like, wait a minute, I don't want to just overreact here is, I think the stewardship of how we handle unrighteous mammon, and it does say it's unrighteous. It doesn't say just neutral mammon.
It says you can't serve them both. It does say that.
It says, but how we handle that, the stewardship, it's like if we don't handle that well, we will not be entrusted with the true riches. And I'm sitting there going like, okay, my emphasis on true riches, yes. I would like true riches. That's not a bank balance. That's not a security apart from Jesus thing. That's not treasure. That's true riches. And you're talking the things of the kingdom. And I'm just going like, gosh, if we get snared by mammon, I think you get disqualified from the other stuff. Because I just think Jesus is going like, I'm looking at your heart. And I am going, who do I trust? Now, I've watched God release power gifts to people who didn't have the character to handle it. And man, do they make a mess. And is it ever confusing to people? Because they end up looking at these power results and they go, oh, must be God. And I'm going like, sleeping with women character problem. Not God. And you can't justify this and declare that life is then, you know, okay. I'm just going like, gosh, this is, you can't do this without Jesus.
Wouldn't you love to sit down with some late 20, early 30 guys and gals that have a heart to maybe the same passion that quote unquote drove us into ministry in an old way of saying that. They really have a desire to help equip people, to help be part of the new creation, the God's kingdom making itself known, a church that is his building, not ours. Wouldn't you just love to have people that open, that young, ready to toss out their preconceptions? And what would we say to them? Because I would love to have that. I would love to. I've got a guy right now, just graduated from Fuller. And we've had a couple of lunches together, a couple of interactions. And he got into, I think, started down that track because he was wanting to come out on the other side and be a pastor, whatever.
Here's your profession.
On the way through that, God shaped enough in his heart to go, I don't have any hope that landing there is going to be helpful in the way that God's inspired me. And so we're having that kind of, he and I are having that conversation periodically. Wouldn't you love, I just hearing you talk about some of these guys and yeah, they've got all this vision and yeah, they're going down that road again. Wouldn't you love to have some, just a little booth set up right by the cliff saying, hey, this is not so bad.
No, that smacks too much of a program for me.
No, just sitting there, just hanging out going, yeah, you can go that way if you want to.
I'm
going to
sit and have lunch there. And I think the fun thing for me is I think I'm having a chance to enjoy a couple conversations with people who really are at that trailhead.
Yeah.
And they're looking at the cliff. They're looking at this road. And the road seems safer. the cliff. I don't know many people are like, yeah, cliff jumping, please. Most of those people got pushed.
But it's not a cliff. It's that glass bridge from Indiana Jones. There's a way across that. It looks like I'm going to die there, which is why people. And
the first step is a cliff. The first step is a bridge. It's a bridge all you want, but that's not what it is.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is a cliff. It feels like one. It looks like one. It's just if I go down that road, I may not get what I want. Well, I can guarantee you you're not going to get what you want. This is not about what you want.
I think it's a bridge only because you've been walking on it and you can look back. I think the first step you made was very much unseen, unknown, uncharted. Unless you had someone else that was telling you it was a bridge.
No, someone else threw me over.
See, that's a cliff.
It might have been, but the fall wasn't long.
No, I will join you there.
Yeah, it's not like the bridge is, 6,000 feet down there right above the water flowing through the Grand Canyon. It really is there. God's able to pick you up. But I how many guys, not just young guys, old guys, who pastor groups and who've done it this way and who are frustrated, who've been at the top of the pyramid. But they're saying, I'd love to do what you're doing. I can't figure out how to make it work, and I'm just going to make the best of this. And
not true. The dynamic is the verse.
What's
right
not
there,
true? My story's not true? Of course it's true.
Their response.
Don't lie to you.
Their response. I can't. No. It's not I can't. It's the right there. You seek to save your life.
It is part of I can't. It is part of I can't, though. I can't. Yeah, you can't. He can. You're going to have to make that jump.
Okay, but right there, right, the verse that trips you over the cliff is to seek to save your life, you'll lose it. To lose your life for his sake, therein you will find it. I end up going like, you know what? It will require your empire. It will require everything. I mean, the cost is well worth anything that you would pay, but it is a full payment choice. It's like, I don't know how to do this in installments. Not this real one. Because I don't know how you really encounter that sense where it's like, it's no longer me who's doing this, but the Jesus who's in me. Yeah. Only when I stop doing all of my stuff, and I was a survivalist. Yeah. I mean, I was strong. It took me a long time
to die. Yeah.
I'm not even sure that I have, but each one of those moments, it was a very real, clear transaction of, you know what? I could do what I'm capable of doing. It's just I know where that leads, and that no longer has any fascination or interest for me. The really super scary thing is stopping that and just that place of dependence on God. I'd love to say I was so comfortable with that, but that just feels so challenging to the flesh.
Well, I like what you said earlier. It's kind of an all-in kind of moment. I really think the most frustrating people on this journey are people that have all their eggs in this basket, and then they're trying to just move an egg at a time, hoping this other basket will work. Because this basket isn't working, but I'm not willing to invest everything there and walking away from whatever.
I have no examples of that working.
Of the eggs moving. No, and I think they're very frustrated people because they see a glimpse of something.
But they're holding on to their lives still.
Yeah, and what they'll say is, but it's not working for me.
Well,
and I would say,
it's all in.
Yeah, until, you've got to just lose that basket. Move all those eggs over here and say, I'm going to live or die on whether or not God is who he says he is and whether God loves me, whether God's going to care for me.
I think that's kind of the only way you find out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a theory that you're answering for yourself. You don't know because you're not in that place. I mean, so long as I'm still relying on me, and I mean, I'm trying to think of, someone listening to this. This can sound like such meaningless gobbledygook unless you're at that same place where you're just going like, I'm aware enough of how I have relied on me. That took so long for me to finally discern.
It does. But I also say, because I think people who hear that who don't have a clue what this is, I got this email this week, is to say, until I totally trust God, I can't have his life. I'm going, okay, no. That's not what we're saying, because I don't trust. I can say today, I don't totally trust, God.
So I do know some of his life.
Yeah, so it isn't, I know that's how people hear what you just said.
Oh, yeah.
They hear it that way, because they hear it when I talk that way. And I'm going, no, because it's not that. It's not, okay, until you can totally trust, you can't have him, because I'll tell people, I think trust is one. God wins us into trust. God wins me away from Wayne's way of doing things, which always turn up creepy. You know, even though it looks good on the outside or it has value for me personally, it's creepy in the sense that it doesn't let the kingdom happen.
Yeah.
So I'm going, I want to. So I think there's a growing learning not to rely on ourselves and learning to rely on him. But there's the moment when God asks us to rely on him,
mm-hmm.
where it feels like all the eggs go in that basket. But it isn't meaning I totally trust him about everything that ever happens. It just means in this moment, okay, instead of saving myself here, right? And for me, it was, you know, part of it was getting kicked out of that fellowship and standing there that night going, I could win this. I could go back tomorrow morning, confront everything. And so God's saying, I have more to teach you if you walk away than if you stay. And so I'm dealing with, and I could go back and try to do a mixed blend of this. I'm going to tell them the truth, but I'm only going to trust God while I'm doing it. But the reality is the choice was to go down, was to let yourself be the victim of what other people were going to do and say about you and not defend yourself and put it all in
so
God's hands.
Fun.
And for 2 years, it sucked. So I'm just saying, the next day, it was great. Boy, God just came through it. No, for the next 2 years, it sucked. But the sucking was destroying stuff in Wayne.
That was good.
That needed to be destroyed to live the way God was inviting me to live. So it's that.
Yeah, it's not a bad exchange. It's just a scary one.
It's very scary, and it's painful. I mean, because I didn't, like I said, I didn't jump. I was pushed. Now, I could have crawled back up and go, I'm going to get you, you son of a gun. I could have done that, but I just felt like, you know what? I'm here.
Yeah.
And there's more to learn going this way. And now, 20 years, that's 20 years ago, I look back and go, wow, now I know exactly what it was that God wanted me to learn. At the time, I'm going, what more is there to me to learn? I know everything.
It is impossible to live the kind of life that I think Jesus invites us on by applying principles. As good as those principles might be, I think it's presumptuous to just apply them. Because if I like am, you know what, everyone just should jump off their cliff. No.
Yeah.
No. No, not at all. You jump on your own, that could be terrible presumption.
Yeah.
It's only in response to a living voice that you are having to go, did I hear, did I not hear, did I hear?
Yeah.
It's only that I go, like, that is what you're trusting. It's the who you're trusting. I'm not trusting an outcome because he's never given me one to trust in.
Not one you wanted.
No.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, I realize it's like, you know what?
But the rewards, you fall in a better place. The end of the day.
Even promises that I have from the Lord, the only ones that I really have profound confidence in are the relationship ones with him. Not the outcome ones that I think I could get somehow apart from him. It's like, you know what?
Right.
I don't even care about those.
Right.
If it doesn't involve relationship with him for me at this point, I'm not sure it's a really great outcome.
And if you care about those things, you're going to find a way to go back to them. I mean, all the time we're talking about that.
Yeah.
Thing about Israel.
Tractor beam you.
Oh, they're getting their, you know, manna every morning. God's providing for them. But that lure of Egypt.
Those leeks. Those,
oh, we had food. We had food. We were slaves, but we had food. And I think if you let your heart turn back that way, you're going to find an excuse to go back. The scripture's replete with that kind of.
It's a double wilderness experience.
Yeah. And so how do we keep going forward? Because I'm getting emails right now from people that I think are in the middle of that 2 year period that I was in, where I'm going
down the hallway.
Well, it's God's making himself known in bits, but it's not what I want. It hurts every day. I wish he'd take it away. He's not. I don't get why he's not taking it away. If you love me, you'd take it away kind of thinking. And encouraging people through that to say, you know what, just let it have its work. Let it be shaped in you, because on the other side of this is a different way to live and think. And that's where God's wanting to invite you into. You've asked him to do this. You've prayed, God, whatever it takes. Well, this is what it takes.
Yeah.
And people don't want it to take that. I just want to. be blessed.
It's weird. Would you think that disappointment for people is attached to trying to control outcomes?
I always think it's that.
Because to me, that's where it's like I kind of lost that one. It's like I've got some wonderful things happening in my life that are possible, okay? And then I have this group, you know, it's like that are sort of listening in, and they're kind of excited about what they see as possible. It's like it's happening in my life, not their life, but they're excited. And then when it doesn't quite happen like they were hoped, they're disappointed. And now I'm having to console their disappointment when I myself am not disappointed because I wasn't locked to the outcome. And I'm just going, this is just whacked. I don't get this. And I sat there going, I have learned something of freedom unexpectedly because my passion is to walk with him. And then the outcomes, I don't know. I don't control those. I have realized as much as I want those to happen, as much as I get excited about certain things being promised or whatever, most of those haven't happened. None of those are really in my full control. So if all of my hope is anchored to that, that's going to be very frustrating. A more fruitful, enjoyable way is I am enjoying the journey. Will that happen? I don't know. I hope so. I do believe so. I do think it's a genuine promise of going after it. But if it doesn't get there, I'm not going to be shipwrecked because I'm still holding his hand.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that has to be. Once we get attached to the outcome, we're going to manipulate it. Oh, gosh.
You're sunk.
Yeah, we are. You know where I'm going this weekend, by the way?
Before where are you going?
I'm leaving Saturday morning. We're going up to Seattle because my former neighbor in Oxnard, that when we first moved to Oxnard, lived across the street from us, who was an AWACS radar guy in a carrier-based plane back in the day, is going to be commissioned the captain of the USS Nimitz. And he's invited us to come and
you go in a battleship.
Be part. It's not a battleship. It's an aircraft carrier. It's a nuclear aircraft carrier. And we're going to get a tour of the boat. And
oh my god,
I am so excited! Yeah, it's going to be really cool. So Sarah and I are going up there and see some old neighbors. And they're the ones. If you remember, an authentic relationship, we mowed the yard for and cleaned up the thing the day he was coming back, and that brought them back on a spiritual journey. Just because someone came over and mowed their lawn, it got them.
I remember moving you out of your Oxnard house.
Yes,
that was a long day.
So they've gone on a neat journey. He at the time was talking about moving up in command, and doggone it, if he's not commanding,
admiral,
aircraft carrier. Well, you know, he'll be a captain.
The captain,
yeah, yeah. There'll be an admiral of the fleet, but he'll be the captain of the boat.
Woo!
Should
sweet.
Be fun.
Traveling with us on the God Journey, you can be part of the conversation by visiting our website, thegodjourney.com.